Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being given this opportunity in this holy month of Ramadan to make this presentation on Quran Tafsir. And the topic we have chosen this year is Quranic verses on Shaitan. Shaitan is our enemy. What kind of tools he use? What kind of being that Shaitan is? And the warning which Quran gives us against Shaitan. But before that, we always begin with some tips on Ramadan itself, just a reminder. So as usual, this is the third lecture in this year, 1439 H, in Masjid al-Ghadir in Toronto. Right. The fourth Imam, Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, has a beautiful dua to welcome the month of Ramadan. In the book Sahifa Sajjadiya, this is dua number 44. So within that dua, we are just picking up a passage. And within that passage, we'll only discuss one line today. Inshallah, we'll continue. Because I have noticed that many scholars, many speakers always use the khutbah, the sermon of the Prophet, welcoming Ramadan. So which is known to us, which is popular, we've heard about it again and again, and every time the speaker or the alim would just remind us about that khutbah. But besides this khutbah, there is also a dua to welcome the month of Ramadan. And this dua also is beautiful. Although we do recite here at the center on the first night, that means Wednesday evening, before the Maghrib prayers, this dua was recited. But it is good that we don't only recite, but also try to understand the dua and discuss about it. So Imam says, وَسَبَّلَنَا فِي سُبُولِ إِحْسَانِهِ لِنَسْلُكَهَا بِمَنْهِ إِلَىٰ رِضْوَانِ. He says, Allah directed us onto the roads of His beneficence, of the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order that through His kindness, we might travel upon them to His good pleasure. So you can see that Allah has some roads. It is the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, Imam is talking about the month of Ramadan. As we take Ramadan, as he welcomes Ramadan, he says Allah has created so many ways. His beneficence, His kindness for human beings are so many, for Muslims. One of them, of course, is that he says, وَسَبَّلْنَا سُبُولِ ihsan. You know, He has directed to us onto the roads of His beneficence, in order that through His kindness, again, we might travel upon this road. So what Imam is trying to say, that when Allah said that fasting is wajib on us, when fasting has been made wajib on us and other things in Ramadan, that itself is ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a beneficence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. And then as we are fasting, even that ability, that strength to fast, that strength to keep the fast, that also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both the way. When Allah is commanding us that we should fast, He does, but He also makes it easier for us. And I know many people come to us and say that, no, you would really like to not miss our fast in Ramadan, because there is a special kind of help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know sometimes my friends, when they are traveling, they would say, oh, can we fast? Is there a way, for example, that we also travel because our business requires to travel, but we have to fast? Because if we have to miss our fast, and then keeping the fast later on is difficult. They say that we find keeping fast in Ramadan is easier. And they're right. Because Allah has not only asked us to fast, but He has also made us to, He also gives us strength and ability and that liking to fast. So keep this in mind. All other things are secondary. The biggest thing is that there is the help of Allah. Allah will not, put anything on us as a burden which we cannot carry on. This is something very important we should know about it. Then of course, Imam also says, وَالْحَمْدُ الَّذِي جَعَلَ مِنْ تِلْكَ السُّبُلِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. From those ways of His Allah's, of beneficence, one of them is the month of Ramadan, he says. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ, which is شَهْرُ السِّيَامِ, which is the month of fasting. وشهر الإسلام, it is the month of Islam, submission. No? وشهر الطهر, it is the month of purity, right? وشهر التمهيس, and it is the month of testing. Wa shahrul qiyam, it is the month of standing in prayers. Inshallah, the second part we'll discuss tomorrow, but let's discuss the first part, right? The first part here, Imam says that this month of Ramadan, which has come to us, it is the beneficence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his ihsan of Allah that he has made fasting wajib on us. And then Imam is also telling us that the fact that we are able to fast, the strength, the ability, the energy, right? All these things which is there. Yes, we feel thirst, there is no doubt in it. But even that ability comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is it? It is very important that we should have the positive aspect to fasting. You know, sometimes I ask people, you know, on the 16th of Ramadan, 7th of Ramadan, how are you doing? And they say, oh, alhamdulillah, the graph is now going down. You know, now the days are decreasing. That should not be the attitude, not at all. Don't consider salah, fasting as a burden, not at all. You know, every day, in fact, you know, the fact that today I'm able to fast and tomorrow again Allah gives me tawfiq, this, there is a hope that he accepted my fast of yesterday, that's why I'm able to fast the second one. Are you with me? If you just take it positive that no, as we progress, if you fast the first fast, the second fast, the third fast, and you are still keeping the fourth fast, there is that hope that the fact that Allah has accepted the previous fast, that's why he is giving us that ability. You know, for example, there are people who always wake up for Salat Tahajjud, Namaz Shab. There are people who don't miss the Namaz Shab. If sometimes they miss out, God forbid, something happened, they overslept, the alarm did not ring, they were very tired, they feel really upset. They feel that, no, was Allah angry with me? Did I do something wrong? Did I upset Allah? Did I commit some kind of sins? Was I disobedient of Allah that I missed the chance of saying the prayers? Are you with me? In the same way, the fact that you get the chance of fasting the following day and the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day itself is a proof that Allah is happy with your fast and is giving you more opportunity. Oh, Manda, yesterday you obeyed me. Again, take it again. So take that positively, right? But there are also other ways to look at fast positively. These are some of the ways we have given here, for example, 5 to 6, right? First of all, submitting to the divine command. Allah is the one who has commanded us, right? Kutiba alaykum siyam, kama kutiba alladhina qablikum. As Allah says in Quran, that fasting has been prescribed to you the way it was prescribed for people before you. So the fact that you are able to obey that, you know, say for example, sometimes your father or your elder gives you to do something, ask you to do something, right? And you are ready. You are ready to do that. You know, once you've done that, even what he has asked to do is a difficult thing. But once you finish it, how do you feel? You feel that, alhamdulillah, I was able to obey and, you know, and do what my father asked me to do. Or sometimes your father, sometimes Les Molana, or for example, sometimes your employer, they ask you something in favor, you do it, right? The fact that we have been commanded by Allah is a divine command, is the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And we can follow that. Itself is a pleasure, right? Itself is a cause of pleasure that, alhamdulillah, I could do that. You know, when Allah asked me to do that, I did that. So that itself is a cause of pleasure that we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, deriving the spiritual benefits of month. There are so many spiritual benefits of Ramadan. Subhanallah, you'll be surprised at how much good it is for, what is spiritual? That means when our ruh, right? Spirituality in Arabic is known as ruhaniyat. So our ruh, the human being has a body and the soul. So this soul, when it connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is spirituality, right? Are you with me? So when we fast, because we are fasting in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although we are facing the thirst and hunger, but our ruh is now connecting. So that is a very special thing. So you can see the joy of, no, that deriving the spirituality of fasting. And there are so many other benefits of Ramadan which we get, right? Number three, of course, we enjoy worshipping. You know, a human being is known as abd. You know, we say bande khuda, right? When somebody wants to give money and doesn't want to give them, say bande khuda. That means the banda of khuda. That means the abd of Allah. Somebody is servant of Allah, we say Abdullah. But what is the root word? Abdullah, the servant of Allah. But abd comes from abida, that means to worship. We have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah himself says, I did not create the jinn and the ins except that they do ibadat, right? So when we do ibadat, that is the least connection we have of the Lord. Allah is the ma'bud and we are the abd, we are the abid, right? So something which connects us with Allah is ibadat. So this, when we fast, it is we are enjoying that ibadat. When I say my prayers, Maghrib namaz, for example, it takes me 3 minutes. So at that time, I'm worshiping Allah, right? When I say my ibadah, for example, Isha namaz, it is 5 minutes, no, or 4 minutes. When I say Tahajjud salat, for example, it's half an hour. So that's the time I'm doing ibadah. But fasting is 17 hours. Do you see? So 17 hours, you are just obeying Allah. You're not eating, you're not drinking, you're staying from smoking, other bad things, haram things. So that joy of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously and worshipping. So that joy of ibadat is there, right? And then feeling the experience of hunger and thirsty. People that who are hungry, people who are thirsty, we don't realize it. But when we ourselves are fasting, see, for example, people of Palestine, they do not have a home for the last 70 years. They've been driven away. They are living in some camps and you know, in refugee camps everywhere, or for example, they've gone away. So we don't realize this thing. Alhamdulillah, we have our houses, we've got everything. What does a person do? We don't realize it, that what they are going through, right? But here is somebody who is hungry, somebody who is thirsty. How does that person feel? What is the kind of feeling they have, right? That is exactly, we are feeling this thing. And that was one of the reasons. We have been told that fasting has become wajib because we have that feeling. So at least we are participating in that. That tomorrow when somebody is in difficulty, somebody is poor, then we would be, you know, ready to always share our things. Even if you have got little, we'll do that. Why? Because we experience the thing. So that is the next thing. The fifth thing is, this is also the month of charity. So often you can see people, so many, you know, besides Jamaat, we give our charity here, right, to support our programs here and iftar, everything. But there are so many other organizations, Bilal Muslim Mission, you can see in India, in Iraq, Darul Zahra. So people all the time, in the month of Ramadan, you'll find, subhanAllah, ask anybody. If I don't know, we don't do this thing, but if you were to do survey, you'll find people do most most charity in the month of Ramadan. The biggest charity they give. They just want to give that. So that charm of sharing your wealth, of giving somebody, right, that happens in Ramadan. So that is also the benefit of Ramadan, you can see, right? And then, of course, besides that, now the sixth one is getting the special pleasure of the nights of month of Ramadan. As we come here in this month of Ramadan, you can see that there are special programs. Every day we come here, there is Quran Khani, there is Quran Tafsir, there is Dua, there is Namaz, there is lecture, there is no iftar. So that a very special feeling. We only realize when Ramadan is over, right, that you find that emptiness which is there. So all these things are positive. When you look at this positivity, then you'll feel what Imam is trying to say, that fasting has been given, this Ramadan which has come is ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the strength of, right? These thoughts make it easy to go through the challenges of fasting during this day. It is the understanding and conviction in what the month brings that creates that positive, that we understand what Ramadan is, and that belief which is there, that iman. So one is marifat, another is iman. If you take marifat and faith, right, if you combine this, you'll always have a positive attitude towards Ramadan. Even if it is 29th day, you'll never say, oh, finally it's ending, not at all. On the contrary, you'll see, oh, it's going away. As inshallah, you'll see the fourth imam also has a dua to bid farewell, how he talks about it, right? So that is positive. In fact, Prophet says, beautifully says that the month first, the first part of the month is mercy. So some people say first 10 days is just mercy of Allah, is just pouring. The way rain pours, the mercy, the rahmah of Allah is pouring, right? The middle of it is forgiveness. So let's see, because there are 30 days, from 11 to 12 is just forgiveness. Although the forgiveness is every day, but that is special. In fact, forgiveness, especially at the time of iftar. Sheikh Mufid has a hadith in Al-Amali. He says every night at the time of iftar, 600,000 souls, nufus, 600,000. Inshallah, 600,000 souls are freed from Jahannam. Those who are supposed to go to Jahannam, So at that time, it is very important. That's why you can see that, you know, when you do iftar, you have been asked to recite istighfar. No, Rabbi kfirli, right? That, oh Allah, forgive me. No, Ya wasil maghfirah kfirli, Ya wasil maghfirah kfirli. No, just say, Ya, no, oh, the one who is abundant in maghfirah, forgive me at the time of ibadah, at the time of iftar. Besides that, don't forget, also pray for marhumin, because that is what they need, right? They need our dua. At that time, it's been forgiven. So the second part is forgiveness. And the end is safety from the fire, subhanallah. When you have fasted 10 days, the mercy of Allah is with you. You have fasted next 10 days, the forgiveness of Allah is with you. Now what happens? You are so clean, right? Last 10 days is just the safety from the fire, right? And that is why you can see even the Shabbat Qadr happens in the last 10 days, because first 20 days we have been purified completely. So if you look at this way, Ramadan, and positively, every moment of death, you'll feel that you're enjoying that. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We come to now our topic, and that our topic is, you know, the Quranic verses on shaitan. Yesterday, we closed the discussion by saying that there's a beautiful dua, right? A beneficial dua, which the sixth Imam has taught us. And, you know, Shaykh Abbas Qumi also has mentioned in Mafad Jinan. He says 10 times before the sun set, and 10 times before the sun rise, and 1 time before the sun set. That means before the sun rises, right? In the morning after Fajr prayers for Taqibat. In the evening, as you go for Maghrib prayers, recite 10 times this dua. And as I said yesterday, let us try to memorize this dua. Because this dua is composed of Quranic ayat. So what is the dua? A'udhu billahi sami'il alim. I seek protection of Allah, who is all-hearing and all-knowing. A'udhu billahi sami'il alim, right? Min hamazati shayateen. From the whisperings and temptations and promptings of shaitan. You know, min hamazati shayateen. Not only shaitan, but all shayateen, that means all his army, not only one shaitan, all those, right? Because sometimes can also become men, right? Min hamazati shayateen. Wa a'udhu billahi. And I seek protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An yahadurun. That they are in my presence, that shaitan are there, right? Inna Allah huwa sami'ul alim. Indeed, Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Recite 10 times. And the beauty is, and this dua is there in Al-Kafi, Book of Hadith, right? Shaykh Abbas Qumi also has mentioned in Mafad Jinan. And then Imam says, فَإِن نَسِيْتَ فَقَدَيْتَ كَمَا تَغْتِي السَّلَاةِ إِذَا تَنْسِيهَا. If you forget this dua, then do qadha of it. That means even, let's say for example, that in the morning you came for Fajr prayers, you woke up for Fajr prayers, you said your namaz and did taqibat, right? After that, you forgot about it. You went to rest. Especially now in the month of Ramadan, you know, people wake up early for sahari and for, you know, tahajjud and all those things. So after Fajr, they go and rest, which is okay. Nothing wrong with it, right? You didn't have time to recite this thing, or you forgot about this thing. Then do qadha of it. That means after you wake up, for example, as you are going to your work or something, just recite this thing. In the same way, for example, you had decided that before I come here and before Maghrib, I'm going to recite this dua. But no, other things came up and you could not recite. So Imam says, if you forget, then do qaza of it the way you do qaza of namaz. But this shows, as we discussed yesterday, that shaitan is such a dangerous enemy that we have been asked to recite special dua, seeking Allah's protection from shaitan, who is an enemy, right? Now we continue. What is the tool of shaitan? Yesterday we said one of the tools was waswasa and also hamazat. Now see another tool of shaitan. This is ayat number 208, surah number 2 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, Ya ayyul ladhin amanu. Allah is talking to the believers like you and me. Ya ayyul ladhin amanu. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Wa la tattabiu khutuwati shaitan. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. A beautiful ayat. Let's reflect on this thing. And let's see what a great scholar, marhum Sayyid Allama Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, right? The author of Tafsir al-Mizan, what does he say about this ayat? So first of all, let's understand. Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, all those believe, udkhulu fis silmi, enter into submission. That means enter into Islam, submitting to Allah, in submission, kaffa, all together, in totality, kaffatan. Wala tattabi khutuwati shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Don't follow. Why? Innahu lakum adu mubin. Because he is your open and manifest enemy. Now Allama Tawatwai says the word kafa here is quite tricky. He says kafa means one and all of the believers are ordered to enter in submission wholly. What he's trying to say that when you accept Islam, then we are supposed to accept Islam in totality. We can't, for example, do no cherry pick that, no, I like something about Islam, something I don't like. You know, when sometimes young people come to us, there's a boy who has liked the non-Muslim girl, so she becomes Muslim and accepts Islam. Sometimes there is a girl who is non-Muslim and she becomes Muslim and accepts Islam and then get married. No, but what happens? I said, okay, because when they come to me, whether it's a boy or a girl, I said, have you accepted Islam? He said, yes. She says, yes. I said, you know one thing, if you don't accept Islam, I can't recite your nikah. I said, okay. Then the next thing they ask, can we also have the ceremony in mandir? Can we also have ceremony in the church? So what is accept? You said just now you accept Islam. And I asked them, have you accepted Islam? He said, yes. Have you done it willingly? He said, yes. I said, okay, I'm not going to recite nikah. First session, I'm going to sit with you half an hour. Explain to you what Islam is. Then I give him the book, Introduction to Islam. I give him the Quran in translation, right? All those things. I say, study this thing. Come to me next week. And then if you have any questions, because I want you to tell me that I accept Islam willingly. Now he has accepted Islam. Share Islam. Now why does he want to go to church and mandir and to the Gurudwara to do also nikah? Oh, we want to please our parents. Baba, you accept Islam, right? Do it totally, right? Tell your parents that, yes, I know you are Sikh, you are Hindu, you are so and so, but I have decided to become Muslim and I've decided to have a partner who is a Muslim. You know, I respect you, but you respect my feelings. So in the same way, this is, for example, somebody who converts, but no, we ourselves, we are born as Muslim. Majority of you, I can see, are born Muslims, right? Even we, sometimes what we do, we take Islam, something we like, we follow. Something we don't like it, we leave it. No, we can't do that, right? So see what Allama Tabatwai says. He says to submit in all matters to Allah and His apostle. We submit totally, right? We should not decide ourselves what was good for us and what is not. What is good, we are not the one. We cannot say, no, this is fine, I'll accept it. This is not good for me, I'll leave it. We can't do that. I will accept it, everything, yes, if I can't do it, because maybe I cannot manage it. But no, I say, for example, khums, I don't think it's 20% too much. I'll give some charity, that's enough. No, that's not, I'm not the one who can decide. No, since I accept Islam, I have to follow, right? Do not prepare or select any path without divine and prophetic guidance. Allama Tabatwai says that when you follow the path, then follow Allah and Prophet, their guidance. Don't use your own mind, right? He says, people were destroyed because they followed their own views and desires. He says, in the past, you find so many generations were destroyed. People were destroyed. For example, Ad and Samud and other people, they were destroyed. Why? Because they followed their own desires, their own views. Shaitan furnishes some parts of untruth with signposts of truth. See what Imam Allama Tabatwai says? Shaitan, one of his tools is what? He gives you a package which has some truth and some untruth. So because it is mixed, you find, oh, this looks attractive because there's also truth. But he also tried to put untruth there. So that's what Shaitan, this is the tool of Shaitan, right? And then in this way, he puts into religion what is not from religion. He brings into religion, Islam, something which is not there, right? It's very careful all the time. Whenever you do something, even if you have to ask an alim, if you have to refer, do that thing. Just don't make up your own mind. I know, remember one day I was sitting in one masail session. One person was a lawyer, right? A Shia, but he was a lawyer. I'm not talking of Toronto, so don't start thinking whom I'm talking about, right? This was many years ago in Africa, right? He was a lawyer, right? And after some time he says, Islam is not but logic. I said, what are we talking? What is logic? You know, what is the logic of saying 17 rakats? Why not 18? Why not 19? No, Islam is not logic. Islam is what? Islam is submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, it was Shabi Ashur, so one person was, people were just keeping awake whole night. So one person was told, now these boys and girls are just, free, are keeping awake, why don't you give them lecture? So that person gave them a lecture for 40, 50 minutes. What did he say? What did he do? He gave the lecture on the benefits of what namaz. What were the benefits? of standing, of ruku, of sajda, all the health benefits of ruku, sajda, and everything. He spent 40, 50 minutes just talking about all the postures. When you are standing, what are the postures? When you go to ruku, when you sajda, what are all the benefits? I said, yes, all these are secondary. Why do we say prayers? Because Allah has commanded. That is the most important. We say prayers because it is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, because we always believe that whatever Allah orders has some wisdom. So no doubt that this standing, this ruku, sajda has some benefits. But if you tell the boys today that if you do ruku, this is the benefit physical. If you do sajda, it's benefit. Tomorrow he says, I went to the gym, I did in the morning everything. I don't need to do sajda of prayers, right? Or for example, somebody says that you do ghusl because it purifies your body. Say, okay, I took my bath. I don't need it. People come to us up to today. They say that I had my relation with my spouse. And now I went to the bathroom and I had a shower. Do I need to do ghusl? I said, yes. But I did a shower. No. Ghusl is different. Shower is different. Right? So don't forget that we follow Islam, what has been taught by Allah and the Prophet and his Imams, right? And Imam. So that is most important. So Imam says, one of the tools of Shaitan is that Shaitan would always make you try to mix the truth with no falsehood, right? Thus a believer is deceived, he says, into following the path without realizing his error, right? We do not need to do cherry picking religion. That's why Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. In totality, you are Muslim, we are Muslims, we are Shia Muslims, right? We want to follow in all aspects, completely. If you are doubtful, get it checked. But don't just use your own reason to do things. So this is one of the tools of Shaitan. This is how he does. The other thing, of course, about Quran is telling us that Shaitan also is arrogant, is proud, and is a disbeliever, Shaitan. Quran says, for example, this is ayat number 71 and 73 from Surah number 38, 71 to 74, Surah Al-Sa'd, right? Is Kala Rabbuka lil Malaikati inni khalikun bashar min teen. When Allah, the Rabb, the Lord says to the angels, I'm going about to create a human being out of clay. Inni khalikun bashar min teen, from the clay, right? For iza sawaituhu wa nafaktu fihi min ruhi. When I finish making that structure, that posture of a human being from the clay, and then wanafaktu fihi ruhi, and I'm going to put the ruh in it, my ruhi, right? To give the life to it, to that structure. Wanafaktu fihi ruhi, and then I'm going to breathe into him my spirit, my ruh, right? Faqa'ulahu sajideen. Once that happens, once you find that Adam already has a life, all of you go into sajda. Quran is telling, right? فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ. All the angels went into sajda. The moment they saw Allah gave the ruh to Adam, and when Adam became human being and living person, when they saw this thing, because it was the order of Allah, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ. All the angels went into sajda. أجمعون. Together, all of them. Without any argument, not, oh, he's going, then I go. Somebody's, no, all of them together, ajma'in, together, right? Illa Iblis, except Iblis, istakbara. He became arrogant, proud. No, we say mustakbir, right? Istakbara. Wa kana min al kafirin, and he was amongst the faithless. Do you see? Up to now, this angel, Iblis, was a great angel. You know how great he was? When Rasulullah, Hazrat Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Miraj, he said, did you go to this place and this place? He said, yes, I went to this heaven, this sky. He said, did you see a minbar there? There were so many angels there. He says, yes, I saw that. Iblis says, yeah, oh Rasulullah, I used to sit on that minbar. That was my minbar. When I sit there, thousands of angels will stand up for me. If something will fall from my hand, right? That was my position. But you can see, Quran is telling us what? Because he refused to do sajda, Allah says, istakbara. He became proud. Wa kana min al-kafirin, and he was among the faithless. What was his faithlessness? You can see what was his argument. His argument was what? That he said, no, I have been created from the, you know, fire, which is superior to clay. It doesn't matter. Allah doesn't say do sajda of the clay. Does Quran say it? No. Allah didn't say that you do the, Allah just says, I use clay to make the human being. But when I put from my ruh, when I try to just breathe into this Adam, my ruh, ruhi, then go to sajda. You see? So that connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. When you go to Makkah, that is just a cube, just a stone, right? But because there is a connection, it is Baytullah. There is association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes it the most sacred place. Are you with me? Just because of that. Masjid also is the house of Allah. It makes it, no. And since we are discussing a masjid, you know, brothers, this wall, do you see this wall? That is the masjid part. Those who are in the foyer, that's not the masjid part. I don't know why people, it's fine, just now you are sitting there, but when you are saying your namaz, especially sometimes there is a lot of space here, why would you sit there? Why would you miss the sawab of being in the masjid? You know who will not sit here? A woman who is in haiz. A man who is in, janabat would not sit here. But if you are not in haiz, if you are not in janabat, why would you not be inside? Prophet said to Abu Zar, Ya Abu Zar, if somebody is in the masjid, just when he takes the breath, that breathing also is a sawab. Just breathing. No, we waited so many years. When we got into this place, there was a debt, huge debt, right? So all of us worked hard, community worked hard to pay the debt. The moment the debt was paid, Mu'minin went to Maulana and said, now that the debt has been paid, why don't you declare this as a masjid? Why don't you recite the siga so that we get the sawab of masjid, right? So I still don't understand. So often I find people sitting there completely back. Yeah, it's different that when the masjid is filled here, and if you sit there, then you get the sawab. Why? Because your intention was to sit in the masjid, but there's no space. So for example, let's say if you go to Hajj, if you go to Umrah, if you go there, my intention is to say my namaz on time. My intention is to say my namaz in Jamaat. My intention is to say my namaz in Masjid al-Haram, right? But when I go there, who is leading namaz? A Wahhabi is leading namaz, right? A Wahhabi who is not like a Shia, he's leading namaz. Should I say namaz behind him? All mujtahid says, yes, you say namaz behind him, right? You say. And mujtahid say, you can do that, your namaz is okay. Not only that, you get the sawab of saying namaz Jamaat in Masjid al-Haram. Why? Because if there was a Shia alim was allowed to lead, he would lead the prayers, will say namaz behind him. But he's not allowed, right? Since the Wahhabis came, this was not allowed. Before the Wahhabis came, in Makkah, there were different imams. The Shias would have their own namaz, the Hanafis would have their own namaz, the Malik would have their own namaz, no, the Shafi would have their own namaz. But when they came, they said, no, there'll be only one imam. And that also the imam appointed by the Wahhabis, right? So in the same way that if you always say your namaz in the masjid, and then one day you came, the masjid is filled, then you sit in the foyer or you sit in the imam marga, you get the sawab of masjid. Why? Because Allah knows that this banda always says namaz in the masjid, right? But now the masjid has no room. That's why you sit there. So, Mu'mineen, this is so important, right? That we should realize these things and benefit from this thing. So this masjid is the house of Allah. So in the same way, this shaitan, he did not realize that this Adam, yes, was a human being made of clay, but at the same time, this Adam also had the ruh, which Allah said, وَنَفَقْتُ فِي ruhi. I am the one who has breathed my ruh into it. My time is over. Inshallah, I'll continue tomorrow. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah give us tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan. May Allah give us tawfiq that we are able to, in fact, understand the Quran. May Allah give us tawfiq that we are able to reflect on the Quran, because these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most supreme, right? And finally, may Allah give us tawfiq that we are able to follow the commands of Quran. We are able to stay away from those things which are forbidden in the Quran, the way it has been practiced and taught by the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Allah.